Welcome to Series 2, Episode 70 of the Banded About podcast series. A few weeks ago, my guest Danny Leo announced during his interview that he was giving up the holy throne of tribute shows after having only recently rejoined the band. The band, of course, is Adelaide's, if not Australia's, most successful tribute band, the Zet Boys. Joining me in the engine room this week is the Adelaide drummer who has just played his first gig with the Zet Boys, replacing Danny on the throne. But before I introduce my guest, it is time for me to play the Banded About theme song, which was written and recorded for the Banded About podcast series by the very talented Catherine Lambert and Michael Mitzi Bryant. It is with great pleasure that I welcome Julian Perotta. Welcome, Julian, and thank you for making time to chat with me today.
Hey, yeah, looking forward to it.
Okay, Julian, let's start from the beginning. You were born in Adelaide. What area did you grow up in?
I kind of grew up in the western suburbs, so Kippen Park is where I grew up most of the time. Otherwise, like Seton, Woodville kind of area as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, western suburbs.
Okay. Did either of your parents come from a musical background or anyone else in the family?
Well, my dad a little bit. He played a bit of guitar. Nothing serious. He just kind of learnt it when he was younger and when he was older. And so every now and then he would pull out the guitar and, you know, still had these skills for play a little bit, but it was nothing crazy. But he always enjoyed listening to rock music. But then my mum, not really. I guess there were some distant cousins and uncle, but I wasn't really around them a lot of the time when they were doing that, just the very little bit from my dad.
Okay. So what led to or who influenced you to start playing drums?
It was a little bit him just playing the guitar. That's how I kind of got started. I got into wanting to play the guitar. He bought a little beginner's nylon string and I tried playing that for a little bit. Never really worked out. And then I kind of lost interest. But then I remember we were watching School of Rock with Jack Black and there was a scene with the Immigrant Song from Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, yep.
And I just fell in love with that song. I fell in love with that scene. It was just the music. I fell in love with that song. And I guess, you know, from there, my dad, he, you know, goes, all right, well, that band's Led Zeppelin. Let me show you. So then when bought one of the greatest hit CDs, and I used to thrash that, just listening to it ages. I was probably about 7 years old at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Just from listening to the music, I just really got into the drums. I was into the drums. I was drawn to the drums. So I used to try and play along on, like, my bed to these Led Zeppelin songs. Yeah, so I guess that's how I kind of got into music. It was kind of through the movie, through my dad introducing Led Zeppelin, and then it kind of took off from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how old were you when you received your first set of drums?
Probably wasn't until I was about 11 years old. Yeah, so going back to that, I was about 7 or 8 years old, just playing on my bed, and I used to upgrade my bed drum kit with extra pillows, and I don't think I ever used saucepans, but I used, like, these, like, metal containers sort of thing, and they made a real loud, rackety noise. And then I remember we got a practice pad, and that made a good snare drum sort of sound. So I was just doing that for fun for, like, 2 years before actually getting my first drum kit. So then my dad used to take me to John Reynolds pretty often, like, I reckon maybe once every 2 weeks or so, and I used to play on the drum kits there a lot. And yeah, eventually he bought me my first drum kit. I was, yeah, about 11. It was a Pearl Export Silver Sparkle kit. Mm-hmm. And I still have it. I still have it here. I don't really use it. Actually, my brothers use it a little bit.
Okay. Where did you attend primary school?
Kippen Park Primary School.
Was music taught there?
Nah, not really. It was I remember music classes, whenever we would have them, it would be like everyone sits around in a circle and they've got like a tambourine or a shaker or I don't know. It was quite bad actually. And I think music was kind of merged into like dance and drama. I don't know, all of those things. So there was no instrumental lessons. I think there was piano lessons actually, but that was about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, really not a good school for music actually.
Okay.
But yeah. Yeah.
So what about high school?
High school, I went to Henley High School. That was good. My music teacher, her name was Tanya Madigan, and the last couple of years in high school, and she was really good at coordinating the bands. I think like there wasn't too many students that played instruments properly. Like, I mean, like seriously, like there was a lot of people that were kind of just in the class just to do it. There wasn't too many people that really took music seriously, I guess, at Henley. It was very much a sporty school, which is why I went there, because I was into my sport. So that was the main reason I went to Henley High School. But I used to have a lot of fun doing music just because it was fun.
Yeah.
Playing, being able to play music at school.
So did you have lessons outside of school?
Yeah, so I guess when I first started playing drums, well, when I first got my drum kit actually, so when I was about 11 years old, I started taking lessons from Jamie Adams,
mm-hmm.
who was playing at a church that my dad went to every now and then.
Right.
So I knew him through that. I got lessons from him for, I don't think it was very long. My memory's a bit faint on this, but I reckon it was only a couple years, maybe like 1 or 2 years. And then when I was about 12, 13, I never really had lessons until about year 10 in high school. So there was about 4 or 5 years where I didn't have any lessons. And then I started back lessons at high school with Mike Howe. And he was really good. He was a really good teacher. I was at that age where I kind of didn't really care about lessons. I just didn't take it too seriously until year 12. And then I finally like thought to myself, you know what, I'm actually getting a lot out of these lessons. I should take it a bit more seriously.
Mm.
So, yeah, well, I was doing lessons with Mike Howe for a good 3 years at high school.
What was the first job that you had after you left school?
I was actually doing concreting and earth moving with my dad. Most of the time it was like earth moving. So that's a lot of excavation and digging. Wasn't the prettiest job. A lot of days, early mornings and pretty hard work.
Yeah.
I was doing that for about 3 years after school.
Right. What was the first band that you joined?
Well, the first band I joined was kind of one that I guess I made. I was part of making it. I think I was 18 or 17 or 18 through like the Facebook Adelaide Musicians or whatever it was. I met up with a guy called Rick Macchia,
mm-hmm.
and it was just me and him. He played guitar and I was just on drums, and we used to play songs that we enjoyed playing, love Chili Peppers, so that's we play a lot of Chili Peppers together. Every now and then he would pull out some riffs and I would play along to him, and we eventually kind of started writing some songs here and there, and we got together a bass player and a singer, and it took a little while to get it to happen. And we called the band New City Royals. Had a good, like, 15 songs we put together. It was fun. It was one of the first bands, and I was, like, really trying to make it happen as best as possible. And we played at, I guess, all, like, the classic sort of venues where all the local up-and-coming bands play at, which was a lot of fun. Like, I really enjoyed it. I guess, like most first bands, they don't last forever and eventually fizzled out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you remember your first gig?
Well, yeah, I mean, I remember my very first performance, I guess it was before a gig with this band. I remember my first performance while I was doing drum lessons with Jamie Adams. I probably would have been about 11 years old. He got me to perform Smoke on the Water with another beginner guitarist. I remember, like, before the show, I was in tears. I was so nervous before the show. I was in tears. I was like, I couldn't cope. I was just so nervous about it. We played like, it was like two verses and two choruses and that was it. That's all we were going to do. But I was just absolutely crapping myself about it. And actually, I always tell that story because I teach as well. I teach drums at the moment to a lot of kids. Whenever they get nervous about it, I tell them how this moment I was just so, so nervous. I was actually in tears and the last second I wasn't going to do it, but I did it anyway. And, you know, I guess those little moments are pivotal, I guess, in like when kids are learning to perform.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so that was like my first kind of performance. And I can even remember probably the next two after that, same thing. I was in tears beforehand. I like didn't want to do it. But then, yeah, my first gig, proper gig, with this band that we made. I remember it was at the producer's hotel and there was like five bands on the lineup. We were the first band. Yeah, there was like hardly anybody there. We got paid like $5 each. And I remember it pretty well. Like it felt like the lead up to it, I was so excited being the first gig. So that was that.
Excellent. So what was your first major gig?
That's tough. It feels like I've had lots of major gigs and each time they've become the actual major gig. Like last week I did my very first show with the Zet Boys. To me, that was the biggest gig I've done. That was crazy. It was an unreal experience. I loved it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess before that I could recall another three or four other gigs where it had the same sort of feeling where, like, I remember my very first show at the Gov. I remember that was an unreal experience just because of the Gov and the history behind it, the people that have played there, and it was just an absolute privilege to be there and be part of a show there. So that was another major gig. But then, yeah, and even from that point, there's been another couple. It's hard to really pinpoint one specific gig that's been the most major.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Fair enough. Do you have a memorable gig story that you'd like to share?
A story at a gig. I feel like there's got to be one. But you know what? I can't think of something that's... No, I'm not sure about that one, Di. Sorry.
No?
No. No.
Well, no, I had a memorable occasion coming to see Smile Pepper.
Oh, my God. You're right. Holy shit. Oh, wow. Thank you for reminding me about that one.
Oh, God.
That was funny because our singer, Sam, he says to the crowd, you know, come up on the dance floor. There's plenty of room for break dancing. And then, I don't know, three or four songs later, we see this guy doing cartwheels. Cartwheels on the dance floor and then he cartwheeled straight into your table, wasn't it?
He did. His into foot your collected table. The table and oh sent my everything God. Flying.
I remember
I
that
got
thump.
Absolutely drenched from the drinks on the table.
Glass just went everywhere.
There was glass everywhere. It was an absolute oh.
I think we kept on playing, but it felt like it felt like we all just stopped for a second and just kept, I don't know, it was the weirdest thing ever. It was
I know. And like the staff there didn't even notice what was going on and like
yeah.
I had to go up and tell them and oh.
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
I just can't believe that. Just the cartwheeling on a dance floor and then like you could almost see it happening and
yep.
It actually did and it was just oh my God. Thank you
I
so much for reminding me of that.
Ducked in time, otherwise his foot would have actually connected with my face.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I know. I know you're
so
lucky.
It could have been far worse.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just, that thump. I remember hearing that thump, the glass, seeing the glass fly. You don't see that.
You don't no, see that was pretty memorable for me, I tell you.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to forget that in a hurry.
Yeah, I know. Thank God you reminded me of that because I don't ever want to forget that. It's too good.
That's not the first memorable thing that we've done. You were my guest when we went to see Rock Quiz.
Rock Quiz. Yeah, that was, you ended up on.
I was a contestant.
On stage. Far out. That was really cool. Yeah, I love Rock Quiz. That was a good night. I remember Rock Quiz. Love watching that show as well.
Yeah, it's a great show. And that was always like a bucket list thing for me to like get up.
Yeah. Because that's your
and
thing.
And then bumping into
the
Joe, who's their caterer, he's going, oh, you want a wild card? I'll get you a wild card.
Yeah. Far out. That was unreal.
That was great. And then, you filmed it.
Yeah, got it all there.
Yeah, that was a great night. Mm. Okay, let's get on with this. It's about you, not me. Julian, is there a band that you wish that you'd had the opportunity to play with?
There'd be lots. A fun band would be like Foo Fighters or Nirvana. That would be a really fun band to be playing with. I mean, I know I'm like talking, you know, worldwide famous bands here. I reckon that would be a fun band to play with, for sure. I mean, I guess, like, if you want to look at more realistic, I mean, I know Super Jesus, they do really cool gigs with, like, they're in some great festivals and great lineups. That would be a great, even Grinspoon, when they were kind of doing shows, like, they were just doing really cool kind of festivals and stuff where you just know it would have been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, something like that would be really fun.
Cool. How do you prepare yourself before a show?
What I was saying before about how I was in tears before those shows when I was a kid.
You don't cry anymore, do you?
I don't cry anymore, but I still reckon I got those same sort of nerves for most sort of shows. And I do get really nervous before shows, even, you know, even the week leading up to it. especially if it's, you know, a big show. When it's, you know, if it's a low-key kind of pub show or whatever, that's different. But when it's, you know, a performance, so like, for example, that Zeppoy show or the other tribute bands that I've played with, the Pearl tribute show and the Foo Fighters one, when there's a bit of more of a performance involved, I guess, and an expectation as well, you know, I'll get pretty nervous before a gig. So I'll spend a lot of time the week leading up to the gig every day kind of doing these particular kind of warm-ups just to get my hands really ready. And also just, you know, listening to the songs, playing through the set as much as I can. I'll play through the set with, you know, headphones, and even at a really low volume, the songs playing in my ears at a really low volume. That way I'm not relying on my own memory of the song to get through it. I guess the day of the gig, just more of the same. I'm just sitting there on a practice pad in the morning, just getting my hands as warmed up as possible, really. Day of the gig, I don't want to over practice. So I'll just kind of go through little bits here and there that I feel like I need to. Or maybe have like a beer or something before the gig just to settle the nerves just that little bit. That's pretty much how I'd prepare for one of those sort of shows.
Okay. How has the pandemic impacted you?
I guess it's because it's been 2 years or something now. It's affected me in different ways. Like at first it was like everyone was freaking out and it was a bit more of like, what's going on here? And everything just stopped completely. I think lots of people, not just me, kind of thought, all right, let's use this time to do things we might not have normally done and record ourselves playing and do stuff, social media, which I did. I did all that sort of stuff. I had learnt songs and learnt things that I probably wouldn't normally have done, which was really good. And then, you know, things I started opening back up and we started to book gigs and then they all got cancelled again. And it's like that one, I guess, hurt more than anything because it was like I was ready to get back onto the stage and ready to get my calendar filled up again. And then all of a sudden they cancelled. That happens and then the cycle happens again. You know, things start reopening again, start booking shows, and then they get cancelled. And you get the good gig here and there that managed to still go ahead. And I guess just that whole cycle of shows being booked, then shows being cancelled, shows being booked, postponed, you know, all of that. It really, I wouldn't say demotivated. There was no momentum. And I think momentum is pretty important when you're doing shows. And I used to book a lot of the shows for some of the bands that I've played in through this period. It just spoiled that momentum of booking the shows. Now I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm in this routine where instead of playing twice every weekend, I would play once every 2 weeks. That was the routine now. I really did want to get back into booking tour weekend and all of that. It was such hard work to make it happen. And it really wasn't paying off. There was like three times as much work and you would get a third back out of it than what you were in the past. Like before, yeah. They would book themselves, you know. The weekends got booked up. Lots of people coming out to the gigs and, you know, we'd never have an issue with numbers a lot of the time.
Certainly a lot of work now to try and get people to come to shows, I know, because I actually do some social media events and things for a few bands. Yeah, I've really got to work hard at it to get people to come to these shows.
Yeah, and look, like that's, you know, that's the game we're playing now. We have to work harder for it. I'm doing that and the bands that I'm playing in are doing that. One band in particular, I guess, that really affects of all these cancellations was an original band I'm playing with at the moment called The Vermantics.
Yeah.
I kind of joined them last year, but it was about this time last year. They're actually based in Melbourne. All of the guys there, they live in Melbourne. I live here in Adelaide. We had a gig booked. I would go to Melbourne to rehearse and then come back to Adelaide and then go back again for the gig. And then like in between those weeks, COVID hit and gig cancelled. Then we'd have a gig booked here in Adelaide. I'd fly to Melbourne to rehearse. I flew back to Adelaide and then before they were ready to come, COVID hit, the gig got cancelled. This happened about at least five times with this band where at the last second it just got cancelled and it didn't hurt like financially or all these things prepared for these gigs and then just to have them cancelled and postponed at the last second, like we could have easily just been, you know what, this is too hard, this is not going to work.
Yeah.
We're a good bunch of guys and we're all motivated and we want to make things happen with our music, so you know, we stuck at it and it's paying off now. We're getting gigs under our belts. We're recording. We're doing lots of stuff. I think other bands going through the same thing, it would have been very easy for them to be like, nah, this is too hard. We just can't do it.
Yeah,
it's
well,
worked
out.
You had
the added problem with Melbourne being locked down for so long.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we had live music happening here, but there was nothing happening over there. You couldn't go over there.
Yeah, that's right.
And they couldn't come over here.
That's right. And I mean, even if I was living in Melbourne, it wouldn't make a difference. The band still would have been stuck in a position because, like you said, Melbourne were in such a bad lockdown. Nothing could have been done. That's just the way it happened, I guess. The borders opening, that's been pretty big. So because of that, we're finally starting to be able to do shows and stuff. And finally being able to feel like we can build that momentum back up. Or then the teaching as well. Throughout COVID, I was teaching, and that's, I guess, a lot of my income, you know, to support my live playing. That got stopped for a while. There was maybe a handful of students that were willing to teach online.
Yeah.
But drums, it's just so hard.
Very tricky, yeah.
It's nearly impossible. I was never really keen on doing it, and we made it work for a little bit. Thank God it was just a temporary sort of thing. I think with, like, guitar or piano or something, you can make it work on doing online lessons, and it actually can actually open up to students around Australia or even around the world by doing that. But with drums, it's a different kind of thing because it's such a loud instrument, a little computer microphone, you just can't do it.
Yeah.
It's impossible. So I remember having months off of teaching, not that I wanted to, but just the way it was. A lot of those things made that period pretty difficult. Still just stuck at it. I didn't ever think about giving up, that's for sure.
No. Is there a positive that came from the lockdowns that wouldn't have occurred for you otherwise?
Well, yeah, a couple. With those guys, we thought, well, we're not doing some live shows. Let's just try and record a lot of stuff. So we did a lot of that. Another band that I was part of called From Scratch, that kind of blossomed out of the COVID lockdown. But those guys were all kind of working musos.
And you had a song based on around COVID.
That's right.
It's a very amusing film clip, by the way.
Yeah, and that was so much fun filming. I remember we got pretty drunk doing that because we had to.
Was that to give you the courage to dress up as a woman?
That's right, yeah. You dress up as an old lady and get tackled to the ground like 30 times. And that was so much fun though. So with those guys, that wasn't the only film clip we did. We did another film clip. We wrote a lot of songs together and it was a lot of fun. If it wasn't for COVID, a lot of that stuff probably wouldn't have happened. That's one positive. I'm sure there'd probably be a couple others here and there. Oh, I guess like another thing as well, I just tried to set up my teaching business a bit more professionally throughout the COVID period, you know, while I had a bit of time off, just doing, you know, some setting up the Facebook page, setting up things like that and getting like the invoicing systems out the way. So a lot of that kind of boring admin stuff.
Had time to do that, which is good, yeah. And for those that aren't aware, we're talking about JP Drums and Percussion.
Yep, that's right.
And we will include the link to that in the show notes for Julian's interview for anybody that's interested in having lessons with him.
Mm, for sure.
If you could only offer one tip to a brand new drummer, what would it be?
I'd probably say to listen to as much music as you can, and when you listen to these music, find the songs that you love and just try playing to them. I think that's the best thing you can do. The reason I started learning music wasn't because I wanted to play drums, it was because I loved music and I wanted to play music. It started off as guitar, then it went to drums. The songs that we love listening to, that's why we want to learn an instrument. So just listen to as much music as you can, learn from it. That's what I'll say.
Great advice. All right, here we go. Here's a tough one. Who are your top three local drummers?
Top three local drummers. That is very hard because I love almost everyone that I go watch in Adelaide. There's so many good ones. Rob Boundy, I got lessons from him, not last year, the year before. A good solid year with Rob Boundy, and the guy is just an absolute wizard on the drums. He's so technically amazing and I'll just learn so much from him. The skills and the groove that he has on the drum kit is just, it's so good. And the knowledge to back it all up, it just makes it even more interesting. So Rob Boundy would have to be up there. And I love watching Nick Romano, the way he moves, the way he hits the drums, the way he's into the music, he's right into the groove, the way he plays around with the groove as well. It's just absolute best. I love listening to him. Every time I go watch him, I've just got a big smile on my face just watching him play. He's great. And the little young drummer, Tomzo, I know he done an interview with you not too long ago.
Yes.
I love watching him play as well. He comes out to a lot of my gigs. I go to watch whenever he does something. And I love watching the guy, watching him improve from week to week, from month to month. I love watching him improve. And he'd be one of my top three as well.
Right. And I'm sure that he's going to be absolutely thrilled to hear that when he listens to your interview.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Which I'm sure he will.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. You know what? Him and his dad, they're great supporters of lots of... I know that they enjoy watching me play and hearing from me and stuff like that, but not just me, but from so many other bands and drummers in Adelaide. Like, they're so... Especially Tommy, he's very, like, he will listen to what anyone's got to say and take it on board, so he's really good for that.
Yeah. No, it was really lovely to chat with too.
Yeah.
I mean, I will admit I was a little bit hesitant at first. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how am I going to interview an 11-year-old? This is going to be a bit tricky. And of course I had to adjust some of the questions, but he was really good. He was prepared, you know.
Yeah, yeah. He's very mature for his age.
Mm.
Yes, and he's got a good knowledge of music as well. He listens to a lot of music and knows his stuff. So yeah,
he certainly does.
Yeah,
he's one of the few that's gotten through all 20 of the 20 questions at the end of the interview.
Yeah.
Good on him.
He was sharp, wasn't he? I remember listening to that. He was great. Sharp.
He had heaps of time left. I'm like, oh, God. He actually listened to me. I explained to everybody before we play it the best way to do it, and he listened.
Mm. Okay. Let's see if I can learn from him.
Uh-huh. That's great. You picked three great drummers. Okay, Julian, I want you to choose the three most important to you from the following five. We have groove, creativity, chops, technique, and time. Out of those five, which three are most important to you?
Well, I think most of those are going to be revolved around the time. I'd have to say time would be there. I know I learned, like, when I actually with Rob Boundy, one of his biggest things about time and about how lots of rhythms work in time, it really expands lots of other areas. Groove, of course. When I listen to drummers, I always listen to their groove, and that's what draws me to them. And I think that's what draws a lot of people to them as well. Like, sometimes you hear a drummer just playing a basic beat and, like, why does this drummer's basic beat sound better than the other drummer's basic beat? And it's usually got to do with their groove, how they feel the beat.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say groove. I'm big on technique. When I say I'm big on technique, it doesn't mean I'm good at a lot of the technique sort of stuff. I like to try and do that. Look at things like performance and, you know, enjoying music and stuff. It's creativity and chops. I mean, chops, a lot of people be like, nah, chops aren't important, but... And it's not really, but it's also part of the show. Like, you know, you go to watch a show and as soon as you see a drummer doing all these crazy chops, it's like, that's cool, you know, you enjoy it. But I think creativity would have to be the next best thing. Well, not next best thing. Creativity, playing in a band, you want to be able to be creative in a lot of ways. And that doesn't mean doing crazy stuff. It can just be very simple stuff. But if it's creative and clever, it can come off really well. So I'd say creativity.
And that would be important to you with the original music that you're involved with.
Yeah, exactly. You can't go playing through 30 songs doing the same thing over and over again. You've got to be able to mix it up, spice things up. You know, you listen back to Beatles or Led Zeppelin and all these bands that everyone loves, and people love them because they're creative. You listen from one song to the next, it's different. It's not going to be the same. Very important.
Yeah, definitely. Julian, if you could invite any musicians to play a concert with you anywhere in the world, you're on the kit, who would you call, where would it be held, and what genre would the band be performing?
Wow. Do they have to be alive at the moment?
No, you can resurrect for this scenario.
Resurrect. Oh, mm-hmm. Cool. Perfect. Well, I would say, let me go the genre first. Do you remember seeing what the Foo Fighters did, how they did a Bee Gees thing?
Yep.
And I just thought that was so cool, just because it was like Foo Fighters, this rock band just doing Bee Gees, like a random disco kind of band. I thought that was so cool. And I love fun music. I love fun music. And Bee Gees doesn't get much funner than that.
Mm.
So I would say like a genre, I'd go disco or funk, something like that. I'd resurrect Jeff Buckley, get him out. He would be incredible to be playing with. Get him on the vocals, of course, and guitar, because he's a great guitar player. Stevie Wonder, got to get him on keys. And let's also chuck in George Harrison and Paul McCartney, because it's George Harrison and Paul McCartney. The vocals in that band would be crazy good. I reckon that would be a pretty fun band to be playing with.
Okay. And where are you going to play?
Where are we going to play? Oh, good question. I'll just say, let me say, this is one to be different. I'm going to say the Emirates Stadium, which is my favourite soccer team. And that way I can bring that into it as well. So I'll say that.
Great. Is there something that you've really tried to play that you couldn't get right, or you weren't satisfied with the way that you played it?
Let me think. There's, you know, I guess there was a period where I was trying to watch a lot of the old jazz kind of drummers like Joe Morello and Buddy Rich, Gene Krupa. And actually a thing that Max, this is something as well, a thing that Max Roach does on the hi-hat is pretty crazy good sounding. And I've tried to replicate that sort of thing and I just cannot do it. And I still cannot do it. A lot of fast kind of stick stuff and even using your fingers, just using, creating all these sounds from the hi-hat, just the hi-hat on its own. Just on the back of my mind, I want to do it, want to get it right. I'll get there one day.
Yeah, lots of practice.
Yeah.
Do you get bored with your own playing?
There'll be times I'll sit down in the kit, I'll start playing, and I'm hating everything that I'm doing. And there's not much I can do about it. That day is just a bad day because I'm listening to all kinds of music. As soon as I start listening to something different, that'll influence me with something else, and it'll add a new little flavor to what I'm doing, and that can spice things back up. I'm always trying to learn something. This is why I did lessons with Rob a couple of years back, and I'm probably going to do it again pretty soon. It's at the moment, if I've learned everything I've learned and that's just it, I'll get bored.
Yeah.
I'll definitely get bored. I need to keep learning something. So doing lessons with somebody like Rob, constant challenge, constantly trying to learn something new. I guess a lot of the time I'm doing a lot of filling gigs as well. So I'm always having to learn new songs, and that helps with not getting bored.
Right. So how many bands and projects are you currently involved with on a regular basis?
I might as well name them. Yeah. Might as well name them or go through them all. My regular kind of cover band gigs, I've got Day Drive, and we do top 40 kind of dancey sort of songs. And then we've got Smile Pepper. I love playing with Smile Pepper. Guys in the band, it's me, Sam on guitar and vocals, and then Scott Armstrong on bass. Just a three-piece. We just love playing the songs that we love, and it's a lot of 60s, 70s kind of rock stuff. You've seen us.
It's a great band, yeah.
You've seen us. We get people doing cartwheels and stuff.
It's just, and Di wears the drink.
Right. Love like kind of jamming, and we have a bit of fun with the songs as well. Recently, Zet Boys, I'm playing my all-time favourite band song, so absolutely love that. And also do a Foo Fighters and Pearl Jam tribute show.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vermantics, the original band. I also do some percussion for a Joe Cocker tribute show as well, which has been a lot of fun. I love doing the percussion for that because it's like, it's something different. I'm on the congas, the bongos, tambourines, triangles, chimes, cowbells, you know, I'm doing all of that stuff. And it's just like, I've got all my toys out in front of me. I get to like, just have fun. That's another thing that I've been doing pretty regularly. That's what I'm doing at the moment.
Are you still doing from scratch?
No. So recently, they're ready to kick it up, those guys, and as they should, because they're really good musicians and very good songwriters. And as you can tell with how busy I am with all these other projects, they need someone that's going to be able to do stuff with them every week.
Yeah.
So I can't commit to those guys doing that. I think I'll still maybe do a gig or two with them when the time comes. We'll see.
And I recently saw you drumming for Queens of Rock.
A fill-in gig.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of fun doing that. Chelsea, she's great. She had a great band playing with some great musicians. A lot of fun. So that was just a one-off fill-in gig.
And you were also doing some stuff with Rocket Rob Trio.
Yes, yes. And I should have mentioned him as well. It's like an entertainment business.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever his show requires a drummer, I'm usually his go-to guy. Whatever the gig is, it could be a gig on a cajon, it could be on a drum kit, it could be on the bongos, anything like that. So yeah, a lot of fun doing that with Rob. But Rob's great. Rob is really good. He's a very hardworking guy. He's got a solution to any problem. Through COVID, he was doing this, I don't know if you remember the push bite pandemic or the DJ. Do you remember hearing about that?
Yep, yep.
Yeah, that was Rob. That was really cool. Got on the news. It was, and all of his clients as well. It's like whatever they want, he will make it happen. I remember this one gig. He needed a 40s burlesque jazz band. Didn't know too many musicians that specialize in that. He asked me to do it. He asked some other people, let's just give it a shot. You know, let's just try and make this happen. We were playing like Love Shack. We were playing, you know, all those popular songs like Love Shack, Summer of 69, Jesse's Girl. Just all of those classic songs in like a 40s burlesque sort of style. It was weird. It was crazy, but it was good. I've certainly done lots of interesting gigs with Rob. It's been a lot of fun though.
Excellent. Where do you see yourself in the next 10 years?
Yeah, I don't know. I would love to, with, you know, Vermantics, we've got pretty big visions just to get on some pretty good bills and lineups and things like that. I want to be able to go around the world. The size of the gig doesn't necessarily matter. I want to have those experiences of touring around America, Europe, you know, those sort of places. So I'd love to be doing that. I'm enjoying the teaching as well. I enjoy working with students. So I still want to be continuing that. I want to be involved in, you know, I guess I don't have any visions of the kinds of bands I want to be involved in. Just ones that have, you know, got that ambition and to get extra work and then to be touring.
Excellent. What do you hope to have achieved before you do lay down the sticks for the last time?
I would love to be able to do like a big headline gig, I'd say. That would be a pretty wild experience to be part of a band where we're playing a headline gig at a stadium, even Adelaide Oval or like Cooper Stadium, even like the hometown, to be able to come back. That would be pretty cool to do what you've done around the world, come back to Adelaide, do a show in front of like 15,000 people of all your home fans and friends and stuff. Love to be able to do something like that.
Awesome. Before we end our chat today, I'm going to ask Julian 20 quick random questions, or as many as we can get through in the space of 2 minutes to close the interview. Are you ready, Julian?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Your time starts now. What was the first song you learnt to play?
Immigrant Song.
What is the best brand of cymbals?
Paiste.
What was the first album that you purchased?
Led Zeppelin Greatest Hits.
What was the only single released off of Led Zeppelin's third album?
Immigrant Song's A-side, Hey Hey What Can I Do, or was B-side.
Correct. How many drummers has Pearl Jam had?
Dave Crewson, David Alberti, Matt Cameron, and then Jack Irons, so four.
Five. Name Five. A band you wish you'd seen perform live.
Nirvana.
The most sticks that you've dropped during a gig?
Probably three, I reckon.
Name the one band that Dave Grohl hasn't but wants to drum for.
Don't know, pass.
AC/DC. What was the first concert that you went to?
Red Hot Chili Peppers, Big Day Out.
What is your favourite song to play?
Fall in the Rain, Led Zeppelin.
Your favourite album?
Abbey Road.
Favourite venue to play in?
The Gov.
Vinyl or CDs?
Vinyls.
Name a genre that you don't like.
Country.
Name one thing that you cannot live without.
Can't live without... I can't live without music. Listen to music. No way.
What was the last concert that you went to?
Oh, my God. It feels like an eternity. Pass. I can't even think of it. Maybe Living Colour. That's the last one I can remember.
What is your biggest fear? Oh, we're out of time. All right, I just stopped that. That was question 17. So you did quite well.
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad.
Thank you once again, Julian, for joining me for the Banded About podcast today. You've been great to chat to, and I hope that everyone who listens finds this as enjoyable as I did.
Yeah, cool. That was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me, Di.
My pleasure. All information and links relating to today's interview can be found in the show notes. And if you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, please share the link with your friends. Until next week, it's goodbye from me, Di, Banded About, proudly supporting live music. Bye.
See ya. Doubt all anew. It's in the way.
sun.